And blessed as I've been here and worshiped, and I've taken part in this worship service. Let's sing that disciple song again. There were 12
disciples. Jesus called to help them. Simon Peter, Andrew, James, his brother John, Philip.
Springboard in your mind what I'm going to preach on. I'm going to preach on another one of my disciples that I have not finished up yet. And let's start with the questions again. This disciple that I want to preach on this morning is one that, as I understand the scripture, he has two names. Matthew, Mark, and Luke call him one name. And John calls him a different name. Does anybody want to guess? I'll give you another thought as you think about that. This disciple, I've told you before that I believe the disciples was kind of a motley group. They were kind of a low-down group. They were a group that tended to be not real polished sometimes. But of all the disciples, as I study into them, I think this man was pretty polished up as far as being a Jew. Anybody have any guess yet? Don't feel bad if you're wrong. Greg, you look like you're just about ready to say something.
I was going to guess Levi, but after you said that, I was going to say Nathaniel.
There you go. Nathaniel. Now, what's his other name? Because if you remember in our song of the disciples, it does not have Nathaniel in it. Bartholomew. Okay, so Matthew, Mark, and Luke call him Bartholomew. You'll also find Bartholomew listed in Acts. But John never refers to Bartholomew. He always refers to Nathanael. And as you get to that and you study into it, you'll also find that we're going to touch a little more on it as we go through here. But Philip, turn your Bibles to John chapter 1. That's where we're going to pull our thoughts from this morning, a lot of our thoughts. The Matthew, Mark, and Luke, as they list Bartholomew, he is just listed in those accounts as in the list of apostles. There's not anything else spectacular given to Bartholomew in those accounts. He's just, as the disciples are, Jesus' 12 disciples are listed, his name is given there as Bartholomew. And so I find that interesting. But as we come to this account in John chapter 1, we find that John talks of Nathanael. And if you would go back and look at Matthew, Mark, and Luke, as they list the disciples, that it's always listed in Philip and Bartholomew. It's always Philip and Bartholomew. So there's a connection there. Now as we come to John chapter 1, we would find that, and as we're going to read it later here, that Philip was the one that brought Nathanael to Jesus. And so I find that interesting as we think of Matthew, Mark, and Luke. There was a connection between those two. And it helps me to believe that as we come into here, that this Nathanael is Bartholomew. You also, if you do a word study and you go back to their names, the name Bartholomew, Bar means son of. And if you take this whole name and you look at it, he's the son of Ptolemy. Or Ptolemies. I can't say those words, okay? I'm sorry. But there's he's a son of somebody. And so the name Bartholomew gives you the idea that as they probably called him that, it was Bartholomew. He was a son of Ptolemy. Okay, in their words, they understood. And so it's a lot of people, a lot of the writers referred to him as that. But as you come to John, he refers to him by his other name, which was Nathanael, as I understand it. And so he was a Galilean. Nathanael was a Galilean. And we don't know his occupation before he met Jesus. Scripture does not say that. We don't know what he did. He could have been a fisherman, which was a lot of what happened in those times. Later on, we're going to look a little bit. Right here we are. As we think about him maybe being a fisherman, we know that in John 21, verse 2, which is where he is again listed of as with some disciples. If you go to that account, it would be when Peter said, "I go a fishing." And Nathanael was there with them. John records that. And so Nathanael went with them fishing. So maybe he was more of a fishing occupation. He obviously knew how to fish or went along with them in that account. Another thing that I find highlights that Nathanael is the same as Bartholomew is that in that account of when the disciples went fishing, all the rest of them are disciples. Unless if you're going to say that Nathanael is not the same as Bartholomew, then here's one of his disciples, or one of the people that were there at that crowd. All the rest were disciples, and Nathanael wasn't. So I believe Nathanael was Bartholomew. He did have a change of occupation, the same as all the other disciples did. He went from fishers of men. He went to be fishers of men, excuse me. He changed his occupation. He followed Jesus and became a fisher of men, as all the other disciples did. We also could go to Corinthians there and look at the account of when Peter was writing there to the Corinthians, or Paul was writing to Corinthians, and he said about the fact that the disciples were... he could be married the same as the disciples were. So we don't know. Again, that's kind of speculation. But obviously some of the disciples were married. Possibly Nathanael as well. And so just a little highlighting in the background of this man named Nathanael or Bartholomew. And so let's read now in John chapter 1. Start reading at verse 43. And this is as Jesus is calling his disciples. And the day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and findeth Philip and saith unto him, "Follow me." Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip findeth Nathanael and saith unto him, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." And Nathanael said unto him, "Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth?" Philip saith unto him, "Come and see." Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and saith of him, "Behold an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile." Nathanael saith unto him, "Whence knowest thou me?" Jesus answered and said unto him, "Before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee." Nathanael answered and saith unto him, "Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel." Jesus answered and said unto him, "Because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these." And he saith unto him, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter ye shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." As we think of this account, this is the main account where we have a glimpse into Nathanael's life. But there are some things, if we study into these verses, that we can glean from his life that we want to look at. Philip and Nathanael did have a relationship, I believe. Philip, as he was one that tended to be practical, deep thinking, more cautious, and as he had that relationship with Nathanael, and he found the Messiah, and he comes quietly to Nathanael and says, "I found him. I found him. Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." And I believe as we had studied into Philip, he did all the calculations, he did all the thinking there. And he knew that this was the Christ. And he comes to Nathanael, and Nathanael, I believe, knew that of Philip. He knew that was Philip's character. That when Philip thought through things, he had pondered them, he had thought it through. We do that today with people's character. We know people, and when we get close to them, we know their character, and we know that when they're telling us the truth, when they've thought it through. Or maybe you know when they're maybe joking a little bit. You know, some of that happens sometimes. But I believe in this account, as Philip came, Nathanael knew that this was a man. And he made that statement there. And we want to look at that here in verse 46. Nathanael saith unto him, "Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth?" I don't want to miss my first point. I'm not quite hitting where I wanted to get in my first point. I want to look at Nathanael, though, and let's just go to that. And I think this point that I was taking you to in verse 46 will come out in another point here. But I have some points here of Nathanael and how his heart was, what his heart was like, and that's what my points are going to be in the message. How Nathanael's heart was. Some look at his heart, who he really was, deep down in. Who was Nathanael? We can see people on the outside, but what is our heart like? And that's what we want to look at Nathanael and his heart. And so the first one I have is Nathanael had a searching heart, and I touched on that a little bit. As there was a connection between Philip and Nathanael, there was that closeness. And they must have been discussing this coming Messiah, because Nathanael knew when Philip came, he knew right away that here it is. Philip is telling me. And I believe also it works the other way, that Philip knew Nathanael was searching. They must have had that discussion. And so we have a searching heart. Nathanael had a searching heart. He wanted to find the Messiah. Two scripture verses to go with it as we think about the searching heart of Nathanael. We have these verses in John 5, verse 39. It says this, "Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me." Search the scriptures, the words, they're what testify of Jesus. Here was this man, Nathanael, with a searching heart. He was searching scriptures. He was searching what was there for them. He wanted to know who the Messiah was. Acts 17, verse 11 says this, and then we're breaking into the thought there. It's comparing two churches, maybe, or two groups of people. "These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily." They daily searched the scriptures, whether those things were so. A searching heart will search the scriptures, will search to know truth. And in our day and age that we live in, as we think of truth being so compromised, where are you going to find truth? Well, it's in God's word. We can't take away from, we dare not take away from it. We dare not add to it. Read the scriptures, believe the scriptures, and I heard some of that come out in Sunday school this morning. We must have an open heart, a searching heart. Well, the second one I have, what is his heart? In John chapter 1, we have a skeptic heart. As we come to this verse here in verse 46, where I had started into, "Can any good thing come out of Nazareth?" It's a skeptic heart. It is one that doubts it. It's skeptical about it. Nazareth was a town or a, a, village, maybe you could say, that was looked down on. Nazareth was a small town. It was a village in Galilee. Archaeology tells us that the Jews who lived in Nazareth and its surroundings hewed caves in the soft chalk stone to evade taxes and to save their lives. That's just historical findings of what they find there. They believe that about it. As I ponder that, Jesus as Joseph was fleeing for Jesus' life, and he's coming back, and he hears there's a king there that he's afraid to take Jesus back into, this little baby. What a perfect place. It's fulfilling scripture. It's fulfilling prophecy. But I believe as Joseph looked on and his human reasoning, and he looked on and he said, what a perfect place to bring baby Jesus to. Here's caves. Here's where we can hide. If the king comes looking for this little baby, it's Nazareth. But it's a lowly town. It's a town that's out of the normal run. It's a small town. It was a lowly place compared to Jerusalem. And I wonder if Nathanael, as he thought, and Philip has come to him, I wonder if Nathanael had given it a lot, or could have gave a whole list of reasons why surely this Savior wouldn't come from Nazareth. Well, he probably could have told a lot of stories too of things that people that evaded taxes, people that did this and did that. He probably wasn't too much different than what we are today sometimes. But Philip didn't even try convincing him. He didn't get into a long-winded discussion and say, well, this here is reason, this. Go look at this prophecy, go look at that, and you'll find it. No, Philip just tells Nathanael, come and see. It'll prove it. A little bit of time with Jesus will take the skeptic heart right out of it. We see his skeptic heart was convinced in verse 48. As Jesus said that, words in verse 47, behold an Israelite indeed in whom is no guile. Nathanael looks on and says, whence knowest thou me? Jesus, it's the first time I've seen you. How do you know me? And Jesus said those words, before that, Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. I don't know what happened under the fig tree. I don't know what was going through Nathanael's mind in that fig tree. There might have been something that when Jesus said these words that made a connection with him. I don't know. But I believe there was something that as a skeptic of a good thing coming out of Nazareth, saw Jesus and Jesus told him what had happened in his life. He was convinced. He was convinced that Jesus was the Son of God. If we maintain a skeptic heart today, we will find it hard, or can I just say impossible, to walk a walk of faith. We'll find it impossible to see Jesus for who he is, really is. Nathanael needed to come to the place where he realized that Jesus was a Savior of the world. We must come there too and realize that Jesus is who he says he is and who the Scripture says he is. And he is the one that died for your sins, and have that faith in that. The third one I have as we look at Nathanael and his heart is we see an exposed heart. An exposed heart. (Clears throat) Again, I said that I don't know what happened underneath that fig tree in Nathanael's life before Jesus opened it up. But Jesus exposed Nathanael in his life. Before thou was under the fig tree, I knew you. I saw you. He sees you today. Now, my question is this. If Jesus was here, and he is here, but if he was here in person, or if we heard a voice come out and say, where you are in life, where your heart's at in life, what would it say? Would it say like these words, as Jesus said to Nathanael and he saw him coming, in verse 47, behold an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. Words of compliment to the honesty and sincerity of Nathanael. As Nathanael was looking for the Messiah, he had a sincere, he had an honest personality, an honest look at life. Here was a man who was completely transparent, sincere, and honest. A truly humble man. Jesus says these words, an Israelite indeed. A true Israelite. He was truly following everything that the Israelites were called to. He was following the commands. And if you go in this time frame, the Pharisees and all those others were falling away. Here was this man, Nathanael. An Israelite indeed, a true Israelite, following the commands given to the descendants of Jacob. I believe Jesus was saying. Well, that has those words in there. In whom is no guile? Well, I had to go back. I wanted to know what that word meant in the Greek. And I didn't write down the Greek word, what it translate or what it was, but it translates to a trick. In other words, there was no trick in this man's life. There was nothing tricky about it. What you saw is what he was. Other words we could use that were listed there. Craft, subtlety, deceit. Craft is a skill used in deceiving others. Subtlety is a state of quality of being subtle. Here was this man that didn't have it. There is no guile in him. What was shown on the outside is what was in his heart. Today we can't expect any different. What shows on the outside is often what is shown, what is happening in the heart. We can't read a heart, but God can. As I pondered this point, I had to think of Revelation 20, verse 12 through 15. I'd like to go read those verses. Revelation 20, verse 12 through 15. Let's stand to read these verses. Revelation chapter 20, verse 12. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, the death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. You may be seated. As I pondered this, an exposed heart of Nathanael, I had to think of us today. We too are going to someday have an exposed heart when we're going to stand before God. And our heart and our deeds are going to be exposed. We're going to be judged and exposed. We're going to come to the grips with this thought. There's only one remedy, and that is to wash our sins away with the blood of Jesus. It is the only way that we're going to be able to stand there at the judgment and have our sins, have our sin washed away and be made clean. Hidden sin can maybe be kept hidden in this life, but will be exposed and judged at the bar of heaven. Expose us at the judgment and bar us from heaven. Let's look at Nathanael's heart. Another thought we have from John chapter 1. Nathanael had a testifying and convinced heart. So we come to John chapter 1, verse 49 would be the main one. As Jesus said, told him, "Before that Philip called thee, before Philip came and called you, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee." And Nathanael answered and saith unto him, "Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel." Jesus saw Nathanael at the common place where the people of Palestine would have been found to meditate and to pray, and a place of privacy and quietness. They often had a one-room, history tells us. Their houses often were one room in this location. And as you had a family in there, fig trees were often common to be planted outside the door of your house. And it was your place to go to meditate and to pray. A life of these trees, these fig trees, is often around 50 years. I found that interesting as you think about it. But I see this tree as a lifespan of the tree is often about 50 years. You know, statistics also say old trees are poor bearers. They don't bear much figs anymore. And so these trees grow fairly fast, and so they get to be big trees. And there was Nathanael under that fig tree. And I believe he was pondering. Again, I said before, I don't know what happened underneath the fig tree. It doesn't totally say, but there isn't a connection. As Jesus brought that forth to him, "Before thou was under the fig tree, I saw thee. Before that Philip called thee, while thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee." And there was a connection that happened with Nathanael that he knew. He went from a skeptic to a testifying and a convinced heart. And he was one of the first. He wasn't the first one, as John the Baptist, I believe, was pretty much the first, or the one priest was. I didn't think about that part of in this message. But he was one of the first. He was one of the few first ones that testified that Jesus is the Son of God. Philip knew it. But Nathanael voiced those words, "Jesus is the Son of God," and he made it public. He had a testified and convinced heart of who Jesus was. Today, a convinced heart testifies and lives a life that says, "Truly, Jesus is the Son of God." It'll live that out. With everyday decisions, it'll live it out. We will see God at work in every day of our life. Verse 51, as we come to that, Nathanael had made that statement that, "Thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel." In verse 51, he saith unto him, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter ye shall see the heavens open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." Well, we know that happened one time at this Jesus' baptism as a dove came down. In his temptation in the wilderness, we see it again. On the Mount of Transfiguration, in the Garden of Gethsemane, angels came and ministered to Jesus. I don't know how many times Nathanael saw that, but I believe it was seen in Jesus' life many times. But as he looked at Jesus in this account, as Jesus exposed who he was, he saw Jesus at work, or God at work in his everyday life. We have all met people that took some convincing to convince them of something. I don't know if you'd have put me in the shoes of Nathanael where I would have been at. I don't know what the account was, what happened underneath that fig tree. But it didn't take a lot of convincing for Nathanael. Let's be in our hearts today solid, steady, convinced that Jesus is the Son of God. And let's stay true to it. The last one I have is we look at Nathanael and his life, his heart. I have a faithful heart. A faithful heart. Jesus called him to walk with him. He's listed by the name Bartholomew in the list of disciples. Maybe we should go read the account there John chapter 21. And just read these couple verses so we can get the other account of where this word Nathanael is used. John chapter 21, verse 2. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana of Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. And that's when verse 3, Simon Peter saith unto him, I go fishing. They say unto him, we also go with thee. And they went forth and entered into a ship immediately. And that night they caught nothing. So we go on reading there. But that he was there in that account. As Jesus was crucified and as he was showing himself to the disciples again. In verse 1, we didn't read that. But he's in that process and these disciples decided to go fishing. Because they weren't sure what was happening. He was a part of that. But he had a faithful heart. He faithfully followed Jesus up till the crucifixion. You will find that he was with all, Nathanael was with the other disciples as they forsook Jesus. As they went through that time when Jesus went to the cross, he didn't know what was happening. They forsook Jesus in that. They made statements that, no, we're not going to deny you. We'll go with you to the death. As did all the disciples. In Matthew 26, verse 35, Peter saith unto him, though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise also said all the disciples. They all felt that way. But Nathanael was one of those that said he would do that, but he did not. But he still had a faithful heart as God was doing a plan with fulfilling the plan of what he came to earth. And so we see a faithful heart. Let's go to Acts chapter 1. We see Jesus was just ascended into heaven. He had just gone up. He told the disciples to wait at Jerusalem. Nathanael, a faithful follower of Jesus, obeyed. And we find him here in Acts chapter 1, verse 13. Let's start reading verse 12. Then returned they unto Jerusalem from the Mount of Olivet, called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey. And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room where abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus and Simon Zelotes, and Judas the brother of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. He had a faithful heart. He followed Jesus' commands to his disciples, and he stayed there in that room. And we know the account as we come to chapter 2 that as the Holy Spirit was poured out, it was poured onto him as well as the other one. Well, he had a faithful heart. He was there. He had the Holy Ghost. Now I want to turn you to turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 28 as we think of this last point I have of a faithful heart. We don't have his name here, but this is the Great Commission, and I want to read it this morning and to think about it as these disciples were commanded to go out. Let's read verse 18. Let's start reading verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Nathanael is with a faithful heart. A man that is, when God looked at him, he had such a desire to serve God, such a desire in whom was no guile. What you saw is what his life was. There was nothing hidden. He was humble. He had a faithful heart that when God told him to with the rest of the disciples to go to that upper room or to go into Jerusalem and wait, he did that. But also as he looked at this great commission, what the 11 disciples were called to do, he did it. And so, again, this is going to the martyr's mirror. And I trust that I'm not going to upset anybody with the account that's given here. I want to read to you what the martyr's mirror says about this man named Bartholomew, the disciple. I want you to know before we start that Nathanael or Bartholomew, whichever name you want to use, he took it seriously, the Great Commission. He took it seriously and he took it out to those nations. And so we're going to read what it says. Bartholomew, the holy apostles of Christ, first greatly tortured, then flayed alive, and finally beheaded. Bartholomew, which signifies the son of Thermaleus, was a Galilean like all the other apostles, and also a fisherman, according to the opinion of, there's a long name there. Some, however, hold that he was of royal descent and the nephew of the king of Syria. Little is said about him in Holy Scriptures, aside from what relates to his call of apostleships to preach the gospel with the others through Judea and Galilee, to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. After Christ's resurrection, he was confirmed in his apostleship, and with the others who were in like ministry, received the gift of the Holy Ghost. After the separation of the apostles, he exercised his ministry first in Lycaonia, then in Syria and the upper parts of Asia, and afterwards in India, where, as the chronicles relate, Pantinus, a teacher of Alexander, coming to the same place about a century afterwards, found and took away with him the Gospel of Matthew, which Bartholomew had brought thither, and which he had taught the Indians in their native tongue. Finally, he spread the Gospel in Great Armenia, I guess it would be, and then in Albania, in Albanopolis, the capital and residence of the kingdom of Pollino, and converted King Astyages' brother, together with his wife, two sons, and a daughter to the faith. He, moreover, as is states by others, delivered from idolatry, enlightened with the knowledge of Jesus Christ, 12 cities in that country, in which the devil was worshipped through the idol Ashtaroth. But the priest of Ashtaroth, being very much vexed on account of this, complained to King Astyages, who caused Bartholomew, this holy apostle of Christ, to be apprehended and brought before him. When Bartholomew stood before the king, the latter upbraided him that he had perverted his brother and unsettled the worship of the gods of his country. He therefore threatened him death unless he would desist preaching Christ and supplies Bartholomew I'll just say it in my words Bartholomew replied to this accusation, saying that he had not perverted nor converted his brother, but that he had preached a true worship of God in his country, and that he would rather seal his testimony with blood than suffer the least shipwreck of his faith or conscience. The king gave orders that he should first be severely tortured and beaten with rods, then be suspended on a cross with his head downwards, flayed alive, and finally beheaded with the axe. This having been done, he was united with Christ his Lord. There are some others that relate the sentence pronounced upon Bartholomew extended no further than that he should be flayed on the cross without any mention of his decapitation, but that as he was still being alive, after having been flayed, exhorted the people, his head was struck off with an axe in order to prevent him from talking. It's so far removed from us. It's a gruesome story. How faithful. A faithful heart. Here was Nathanael. He took the Great Commission seriously. He took it north of the Black Sea. It was way up north. If you look at a map that's, at least in my Bible anyhow, the maps that are there, it don't even have this where it was listed in there. He went north and he preached. He took it to all the world. How about us today? Do we have a faithful heart? Do we have a heart? What if torture came? What if we would be called to give our lives for God? As I look at my own life, there's so many times I can start to shrink from giving a name for God at such a smaller thing. Can we be faithful like Nathanael was? Can we let our light shine for Jesus? And so to a few questions I have as I pondered this message. For myself and for you as a congregation, are you ready to meet Jesus? Nathanael wanted to meet Jesus. Are you ready to meet Jesus? He was here on this earth. He left. He's coming back. Are you ready to meet him? If you're not, he is calling you. He wants a relationship with you. Are you following him in faith? We must realize that he knows all about us. Nothing is hidden. Are you living a testifying, a convinced life? One that you know who you are following, that I know who I'm following, and that the world can look on and know who I'm following? Am I letting him, Jesus, God, be Lord of my life, in control of my life, as Nathanael left it in his life? Let's kneel for prayer.